Now that we have finished Easter week, and we go on now with the life of the church, we continue in Acts right where we were. But now the Gospels are going to be, for a long time now, about the sacraments, because that's the presence of Christ among us. He acts in these seemingly ordinary ways. And so what I want to do quickly is just point out a couple of things and then talk about that and let everybody get over to the clinic and every place. But the story in Acts follows from what we had last week. Remember, they called them in, they threatened them, they told them, and they said, we got to listen to God, not you, you know, so we're going to preach. So they're out there and they're praying, and Peter prays, you know, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples entertain folly? This is Psalm 2. This was the psalm that struck me when we were out there that day praying about the HHS mandate. And I read this psalm because, see, kings of the earth took their stand and the princes gathered together against the Lord and his anointed, his Mashiach, his Messiah. You see? And then the rest of the text. So, of course, the psalm for the day is Psalm 2. So we read again, why do the nations rage and the peoples utter folly? The kings of the earth rise up and the princes conspire together. And now they go on, against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their fetters and cast off their bonds. He who is enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord derides them. And so forth. All these big international, you know, plans. Having ruined Europe so that it no longer believes in God. This is amazing, isn't it? I mean, think of it. The European Union, the Constitution, the prologue, never mentions God or the Catholic Church. When John Paul II objected, they put in something about conscious of our religious heritage. And Europe is Catholic. I mean, it's what built Europe. Was the energy, the enthusiasm, the sense of beauty. That's what built Schacht. That's what wrote the Summa. That, and I could go on and on, right? So, in the Gospel, we have this beginning now of the discourse, as we'll have. We'll do this. We'll do baptism. We'll do the Eucharist in John 6 for a long time on the Eucharist, because that's where the Lord is most specifically present to us, risen from the dead, and feeds us on his body and his blood. Here we have this story. Nicodemus, that's Nakdimon Ben Gurion. He was a member of a very famous and very wealthy family in Jerusalem. When the Romans were besieging it, he said, the family said, don't worry, we have enough money to buy food to keep the whole city going for a few months. So they were pretty wealthy people. But he was a Pharisee, which means he was a strict observer, you know, okay. And he went to see him. He shows up again in chapter 7. He's defending Jesus. Since when do we condemn somebody unless we've heard what they've got to say? Remember that? And they shot back, what, are you from Galilee? Which means, are you from Hickville? I mean, are you, you know, are you from hillbilly land? You know, that you'd be so dumb? Okay. And so, and then again, he shows up to help Joseph of Arimathea to bury Jesus. So it's most likely that he was a disciple. Okay. What does our Lord say? It's most remarkable. I know we're going to watch it today, especially. Unless a man be born from above, anothen, which can mean over again or from above. It just happens. The Greek word means both. Our Lord was talking Aramaic with him. People would try to guess what that word could have been, but we don't know. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now just think about this. And think of the wisdom and the mercy of God. We are baptized. And that baptism gives us divine life. You see, we shunt the ceremonies off to a corner someplace. And it's nice that we have a big deal at Easter. But of course, that was the only time, or one of the only times, people were ever baptized. And they were all plunged into a pool of water. And the big thing in sacramentology, sacramenta significando causant, sacraments by signifying cause. So there was not much signification. People don't get it. But our Lord here, the very living, eternal Word of God, is telling us that you have to be born of water and the Spirit. You have to be baptized. Now, there are good people who are not baptized, for whom the Lord has respect and helps them. But is this important? And so, if you can, I don't know, maybe you could Google baptism and see what comes up. I mean, I don't know, but study it a bit. This whole dispensation of the sacraments, which we will now be doing. We'll do baptism and then we'll do the Eucharist, because we're celebrating the presence of the risen Christ among us. They call it christen nowadays. Not in the Catholic Church. We stick to the old word baptism because that's what happens. You're plunged into Christ through this act. Now, isn't that amazing? Through this bread and wine, we live. As Irenaeus says, a body into which the body of Christ is gone, if that person doesn't turn from God, it's impossible that that body stay in the grave. It's impossible. It must rise again. It's been touched by the body and blood of the very eternal Son of God. Somebody baptized. You know that origin, right? Tells the story. He was baptized as a child because they did baptize. The Christian baptized their children right away. And his father, Leoncios, would pick him up as a child and kiss his chest and say, at least we know the Holy Spirit is here. He's never had a chance to sin again, so we're sure he's here. We have our own little tabernacle of the Holy Spirit right with us, son. I have to quit now. But we're going to be working on the sacraments because the church is working on the sacraments in these days to come. So it's good to meditate on the mercy of God. You know, we're material, right? Did you ever notice? And we have to have material things to get the picture. So the Lord gives us water, wine, bread, imposition of hands, oil. And these things transmit to us divine life, divine healing. What a mercy. What a mercy. And our Protestant brethren, by the time they kicked them over, we weren't practicing them very well anyway. You've got to see, that's why the liturgy has to be beautiful. Have to have candles and a book and sing and because the Almighty Son of God, risen from the dead, in a few minutes, will be right here, surrounded by angels, worshiping Him, to feed us on His own body and blood every day until we see Him.